You are listening to the Talk of Toledo, 1370 WSPD. This is Eye on Toledo. Here is your host, Fritz Wenzel.
Well, it's been 6 days since I was behind this microphone, and seems like nothing's really changed here. Welcome to the program, by the way. We've got Libya on fire. France has stepped in, say they'll take care of them. They want to use airstrikes against Muammar Gaddafi. Cameron from the UK says that, he'd join in with that. Meanwhile, economists are warning of a double-dip recession if oil hits 140 bucks, which it does look like it will, 140 bucks per barrel. Meanwhile, other bad economic news, bad news in general, the trade deficit has jumped, jobless claims unexpectedly go up, and the U.S. Senate yesterday rejected two measures to keep our federal government operating, one offered by the Democrats, one offered by the Republicans. So here we are, looking straight down at a government shutdown. So we thought we'd bring Representative Bob Latta of Bowling Green, District 5 for Ohio, onto the line here and find out just what in the world is going on in Washington, D.C. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Hey, Fritz, how are you tonight?
Good. Things going okay there in D.C.?
Well,
nothing much going on, huh?
As well as can be expected.
I was there yesterday, had a full book of meetings, and didn't get a chance to swing by your office. I apologize for that.
Sorry, I missed you.
Anyway, you and everybody else there wearing one of those little pins have had lots to do yesterday. Let's start with the U.S. Senate votes. They defeated the Democratic choice. They defeated the Republican choice yesterday. So in terms of the federal budget, where do we stand? What do we do next?
Well, you know, we've got by March 18th, we're going to have either the budget, continuing resolution done until the end of the fiscal year, which should be on September the 30th. And as people know, that we'd cut $100 billion out of that about a $1.65 trillion deficit that the CR was running, and because the Democrats last year did not do a budget. And so, you know, if things don't start happening quickly, you know, we might be looking at another two-week CR to keep the government running for that. But at the same time, I can guarantee you that the folks on the Republican side are going to insist on what we did before, and that was that we're going to have to cut about $4 billion out because, you know, our pledge is almost $2 billion a week that needs to be cut out. And
right.
So what happened in the last CR was $4 billion, that's $2 billion a week, and then if we do it again, it's going to be another $4 billion that's going to have to be cut out.
Well, meanwhile, we're racking up $4 billion a day in debt. I mean, that's how much money every day is getting added to the federal debt. So cutting $4 billion every two weeks is, I mean, it's a start, no question about that, but it's not going to get the job done, even on a temporary basis.
Well, and again, that's what happens when you don't do a budget. You know, when you don't do a budget, and this is the first time that since 1974 when the Budget Act was enacted that the Congress did not do a budget. And pretty much, I think, really, if you look at the situation out there, why didn't they want to do a budget? Well, they probably knew that they were going to be running the largest deficit ever, which it turns out to be $1.65 trillion, and they didn't want to be out there during a campaign saying, oh, by the way, our budget is running a $1.65 trillion deficit. So when you look at these numbers right now, and I just had a budget meeting today, and, you know, it is absolutely frightening because if we don't do anything, this tidal wave of debt that's looking at us right now, within the next 10 years, you know, we're going to be doubling the debt, and it's just going to take off exponentially from that point. That, I mean, our future generations in this country are going to be just wiped out because you cannot have this much debt out there.
Yeah, if nothing happens, as I understand it, right now, every man, woman, and child owes about $45,000 as their individual share. So a family of three, that is $135,000. That's your commitment, folks. You're committed to spending that if you've got a three-person family. If four, it's even more. It just keeps getting worse and worse. But if nothing's done to change this trajectory, by 2012, we'll be up to 55 to 60,000 per person. Is that correct?
Well, and I'm not really sure exactly on those numbers, but I know that your first one's correct right off the bat. But what we're looking at happening is, again, the interest on the debt will just start becoming a larger and larger portion of the federal budget, to the point that, you know, when you look at the outlying years, like in 2080, now you might say, boy, that's a long way off. But when you're talking about probably at least over half of the entire federal budget will be just paying interest on debt. And the question is, what kind of country are you going to have at that time?
Yeah, and the other two-thirds of the budget is going to be Social Security, but particularly Medicare and Medicaid. So we're going to be way over the top.
Well, and, you know, it's particularly frightening, because what happens when foreign governments no longer want to buy American debt? And, you know, almost half the debt, the publicly held debt today, is owned by foreign countries. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese, the last time I looked, had just a hair under $900 billion of our debt, and out of a $4.4 trillion that foreign countries own right now. So, I mean, it is a frightening number out there that's occurring. And, you know, and it just has to be that there has to be a realization here in Washington that we cannot keep spending. I know the vice president said we're going to spend, we can spend our way out of this. Impossible. Mm-hmm. Impossible.
Why, you know, it seems to me, Congressman, that these sorts of movements have to start out here in the hinterlands and impact Washington from the outside, because you're right, people there on the Hill don't seem to realize that things have to get done and that people are upset about this. But, you know, some people are, but some people aren't. And I don't understand why that is. Do you have any insight?
I tell you, because it's smoke and mirrors. And I think that what the American people really have to hear is the absolute truth. You know, I think this thing's been sugar-coated for so many years. You know, when you look at our unfunded liabilities right now in the year 2011, almost equal $89 trillion. That's our unfunded liabilities out there.
Mm, that's amazing.
And, you know, we're talking about something that's, you know, passed down the street. And I think that people have to understand what happens when you're broke, when you're bankrupt, and I want to know what the next word is for that, because we are past broke and bankrupt.
Yep.
When you're talking about $88.6 trillion in unfunded liabilities in the year 2011.
We're talking with Congressman Bob Latta here. I'm Fritz Wenzel. This is Eye on Toledo. It's 6:14. Congressman, given all this, how stiff is the backbone of Republicans in the House of Representatives? Are you guys willing to go all the way to a government shutdown to get the cuts you said you would give if you were elected?
Well, you know, I don't think you have to go all the way to a shutdown. I think that, you know, if we have to, I'll go. If I can get $2 billion a week cut out to get to that $100 billion that we said we would do, I think we're going to have to do it, because if, you know, the other side doesn't have the stomach to say we're going to have these cuts. But we're just going to have to do, you know, literally say, okay, we're going to do another 2-week extension. We're going to cut another $4 billion out. And, I mean, we'll literally have, you know, instead of doing it one fair swoop, because I think what you saw over the Senate, even, you know, they were waffling all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But they realized, you know, when Harry Reid came out and said that $4.7 billion in cuts was enough. You know, I'm not sure, and it's pretty much what Mitch McConnell said about, you know, when asked about it over the weekend, about what some of the Democrat statements is pretty much, you know, having to find out what planet some of these people were on.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, we incur that much debt in one day, $4 billion a day as a country. I mean,
but again, that's why I think, Fritz, that folks have really got to understand this, because, you know, some people out there have been some polling numbers that have shown that, oh, we can get around this if we just eliminate the waste, fraud, and abuse in government. You know, if we've had this much waste, fraud, and abuse, where the inspector general's been in all of this? No, this is, I mean, people are being, again, kind of the sugarcoat, oh, don't worry, things will be fine. We're just going to, you know, take care of this. We'll get this. Show me where all that, you know, trillions of dollars is that we're going to be at, because this is going to affect not only this generation, but generations to come. And Americans, you know, when I was just at a meeting the other day, And I said to this group, I said, how many of you believe that your kids are going to have a brighter and better future than you have? Please raise your hand. Not one person raised their hand.
Yeah. Boy, that's amazing.
And this is the first time in American history where Americans of one generation believe the next generation is not going to have it better than they do.
You know, I've seen the same thing in focus groups when we talk about the economy here over the last 3 months or so. They say two things exactly, what you just said. And then the follow-up question is, do you think things are going to get better sometime in the next 2 years? Not one hand goes up. But I want to change subjects here because I'm getting depressed with that. I want to talk.
Well, I live with that every day.
Well, that's why you make the big bucks. That's why it's your name on the ballot. But this Middle Eastern stuff, what are you thinking there in the Congress? What are the people around you thinking as you watch how the Obama administration deals or doesn't deal with Egypt and now Saudi Arabia exploded today? If you're on your way home and you haven't heard this, the Saudi police are opening fire on their own citizens. You've got Tunisia. You've got all the other instability. And in the middle of it is where we get most of our oil, or at least a huge percentage of our oil that fires this economy or what's left of it.
Well, you know, when you look at, we get about 60% of our oil in this country is imported every day. And to make this economy run, we can't have what happened back in 2008 when we, like, I remember down the street from me in Bowling Green, $4.19 gasoline. And there's places around the country right now with well over $4 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
That'll soon be spiking to $5. And, you know, we can't keep our factories running and our businesses operating if we see these high oil prices. Again, first of all, this administration, the Democrats in Congress, do not have a energy policy. You know, their energy policy is one that says, we don't like all these things, but if you don't have baseload capacity, you can't turn on machines in a factory every day. And I represent the largest manufacturing district in the state of Ohio and the largest ag district in the state of Ohio. And if we're going to keep people employed, we've got to have the ability to do that. And I think there's been, you know, a lot of disappointment in the administration in that they've done nothing. You know, they've kind of let the rest, they say, well, it's almost like, well, if we don't do anything, maybe it'll just go away. And, you know, there was a
question. What should, manufacturing or the energy problem?
I'm sorry.
Because the manufacturing is going away.
Overseas, you know, going overseas. When we're talking about over in North Africa or the Middle East.
Right.
That we have got to have some kind of a cohesive policy. And, you know, I don't think people here, you know, it's almost like we've let the Europeans take the lead on this. And, you know, pretty much I think they're going to start saying, you know, we're not going to wait around for the United States because, you know, look. I think if you just look what happened with the rescuing our nationals out of Egypt, you know, out of when we had the boat lift that had to run in.
Yeah, that was Egypt. Tripoli.
In Tripoli, that, you know, we had a situation there that we had the Europeans go in there and get their people out. We ended up with a catamaran that we couldn't even get in because of bad weather. And so, you know, I think the rest of the world is starting to look at it and say, you know what? I think we're out here on our own.
Yeah.
And so I think the United States has got to have a policy. But, you know, the first policy we've got to have, though, is we've got to take care of ourselves over here. And, again, you can't shut off the outer continental shelf off the coast of America. You can't say that we're not going to drill up in Alaska. You can't say that we're not going to have nuclear power. You can't say that we're not going to use clean coal and go through all these things that we've got to have, for this massive use of power to turn on these machines every day. And, you know, I think this is where this administration has really fallen.
Do you think they've been naive in expecting to be able to quickly replace traditional forms of energy with alternative?
Well, I think that, this administration has decided, well, we're going to pick winners and losers in what they see in the energy world. You know, one of the things that you could say that, you know, battery-operated cars, well, that's an interesting concept and something that should be explored. But one of the things is, let's just say that you switch over today to all battery. Where are you going to plug all these cars into?
Right.
And it's not only plugging them in, you're going to have a power source again, are you going to use more energy doing that by plugging a car in than having a gasoline-powered engine? So, you know, again, I think that the folks out there have got to realize that, you know, we want to have what we called in 2008 an all-of-the-above policy where you use all your traditional forms and you get your alternative. But we've got to realize that we've got to have, you know, when you look at the Chinese talking about 35 to 40 nuclear reactors in the next 25 to 30 years,
mm-hmm.
India, 25 to 30 smaller reactors, when you look at the number of co-powered stations that the Chinese are putting on every month, and look at this country, what we're doing, nothing. And, you know, so we're in a quandary here that, again, that in 2008, the American people said, we have got to do something. Now, when oil prices, you know, I hope they don't do it, but if oil prices get up to $140, $150 a barrel, and they're going to say, wait a minute, weren't we just here 2.5 years ago? And, you know, to say that the solution is that you need to walk or ride a bike or use mass transit, you know, if you're going to ride a bus out of my Bowling Green, the school bus doesn't even go by my house.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just not set up for mass transit.
And again, but this is America, and, you know, the reason that our relatives came over here, they didn't want to be stuck in towns. They didn't want to be working for somebody else. They came out and settled across this country. And so we need roads, we need bridges, we have to make sure that we have the energy to be able to get cars and trucks. And one of the things when I go in the factories across my district, I always ask them this one question. How far do your people come into work every day? You know, and it's not uncommon for people driving 25, 30, 35, 40 miles one way to get to work.
Right.
Now, these companies are saying, what happens if the oil prices get so high that people start saying, you know what, it's not worth it for me to make the drive anymore because it's being eaten up in my transportation costs.
Exactly. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it right there. And it's sort of a sad week, sort of a depressing week, as I mentioned earlier, to talk about all this stuff. It never seems to get better. So we will bring you back on again sometime soon, I hope.
But, you know, just to leave it on a high note, though.
Okay.
I think that since we're talking about it and we're exposing it, that's the number one thing. You can't solve a problem if you don't know what it is.
Absolutely.
And I think the more that the American people find out what's going on down here and what the disaster is that we're facing, they'll say, you know what, it's time to get off our seats and get moving and get this country turned around. So the number one thing is know the problem, don't have it sugarcoated to you, no smoke and mirrors, and I'm confident we can do it.
He is one of 435 in the United States House of Representatives, but it looks like at least he's got the right ideas for the times. We can hope that he can convince enough of the other ones there and a few over on the Senate side as well. Thank you. Congressman Latta with us here on Eye on Toledo. I'm Fritz Wenzel. You're listening to The Talk of Toledo, 1370 WSBD.